Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, you say I am a king. The first two readings give us glimpses of God's kingdom. But the gospel shows us that there are competing views of the kingdom. We have Pilate's view and Jesus' view. Which view is ours? Which kingdom defines our lives? Jesus does not say to Pilate that he is a king, that he is the king, because he doesn't want to be restricted by Pilate's understanding of kingship. Pilate has a limited, worldly idea of kingship, one rooted in power, authority, and domination. The divine idea is vastly different. Jesus proposed a completely new concept of kingship, one rooted in truth. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, Pilate's kingdom, but of peace, love, and the joy given by the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus' view. Today, my hope is to break us out at least a little bit of our limited earthly stereotypes of kingship and into the greater awareness of the truth of the gospel, into a joyful submission to our great God and Father, because we are his beloved sons and daughters. This is beyond our mind's capacity to grasp, but somehow, by faith, through baptism, we are beloved children of God, beloved children of the King. To help open our eyes to Jesus' kingdom, the first two readings give us glimpses of its infinite greatness. And the term often used in the Bible is the term glory. We heard the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. To him be glory and power forever. This is more than just the fawning we see over celebrities and athletes. It's more than just the honor that we give to leaders of nations. That's respect, admiration, flattery. It's not dominion and glory. Glory is something that's almost foreign to our way of thinking because our speech is unavoidably rooted in this world. And so throughout the scriptures, we're given limited human attempts to describe it. Remember when the gospel writers, when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, said, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just before our first reading, Daniel described God the Father, the ancient one, this way. He said, his clothing was snow bright, and the hair on his head white as wool. His throne was flames of fire, with wheels of burning fire. The book of Revelation, from where we got our second reading, makes this attempt. On the throne in heaven sat one who sparkled like jasper. Around the throne was a halo as brilliant as an emerald. But every one of these fascinating attempts to describe heaven is just an outward appearance of something that's infinitely greater. Perhaps the closest that most of us come to grasping this idea of glory is when we are captivated by the glory of God's creation. It's not wrong to suggest that the glory of the earth is the vestibule, is the entrance area to the glory of Jesus' kingdom. Because earthly glory contains a very small part of the heavenly reality, which is why a sunrise or sunset, the mountains, the oceans, the waterfalls, and countless other examples of beauty lift our souls to God. It's not just some nice feeling. It's a glimpse of God's glory. I find it fascinating that people who have claimed to have seen heaven often say that in heaven there are colors and sounds that are deeper and richer and more beautiful than anything we have on earth, that they defy explanation. St. Paul, who himself had a vision of heaven, says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Well, Pilate wasn't thinking of that kingdom. The question is, are we? If we're sensible, we will want to be part of Jesus' kingdom. But so many of us are distracted by Pilate's kingdom. Which kingdom defines our life? Pilate's or Jesus's? Sometimes we can tell by doing something as simple as looking at our attitude towards the Mass. The highest expression of praise and thanksgiving that we can offer to God. I mean, hopefully we know that missing Mass on Sunday or on holy days of obligation without a good reason is a mortal sin. It's a serious obligation because honoring God on Sunday is about putting the kingdom of God ahead of the kingdom of Pilate. It should be unthinkable to miss Mass unless we're seriously ill or Mass is not available. It should be unthinkable to even leave early, to leave before the priest leaves. I mean, we would never go to an important dinner and leave early because that would be rude. Well, it is rude. How did we ever come to think that it's okay to leave Mass early? What is so important in the kingdom of Pilate that we're in such a hurry to leave God's presence? And then even when we are here at Mass, where are our hearts, our souls, and our minds? Are they focused on Pilate's kingdom, what we're going to do after Mass, who's going to win the football game tonight? Or are they on Jesus' kingdom, the true and perfect praise of the true and perfect King? Today's feast of Christ the King is important because Jesus' kingdom can change the world. We know this because it already has, time and time again. Christianity proclaims those things that are the best of humanity, those things that are desired in society: virtue, compassion, mercy, charity, self-control, forgiveness. We proclaim these things because these are rooted in God. And yet Christianity is perceived by some in authority as a threat. Why? Maybe it's because Christianity promotes subversive ideas like the sanctity of family and marriage. Ideas like the dignity of all human life from conception to natural death. Maybe it's because we teach the equality of all people, regardless of race, gender, or religious beliefs. Or because there's an obligation to care for the poor, the sick, the abandoned, the dying. You see, the gospel is more powerful than most people realize because the human heart silently yearns for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Pilate is not enough to fill the hole that only God can fill. At the time of Jesus before Pilate, Jesus is not a threat to Pilate in one sense, but in another sense, he is a threat to the entire established political order. We know from the social sciences that those who lived the gospel converted the Roman Empire, that Christianity grew at a rate of 60% per decade from the time of the apostles to the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine in the early 300s. Contrary to common belief, Constantine didn't make the Roman Empire a Christian empire. It had already become one. It had already been converted to more than 50% Christian by the time Constantine became the emperor. There are similar examples today of how the gospel can change the world. The desire for Western education has led the country of Mongolia to open itself to the Catholic Church. For those of you who are a little weak on your geography, Mongolia is on the northern border of China. And so in 1991, they allowed a church and a school to be opened. Well, now they have three churches. And among the 1,300 Catholics in Mongolia, they now have their first native Mongolian priest and three others in seminary in South Korea. And Jesus' kingdom is beginning to change that world. Jesus' kingdom can change the world. And this is important because it means it can change your world. But which kingdom defines our lives? Pilate's or Jesus's? Of course, we all know the real reason why the gospel is so subversive. The real danger of choosing Jesus' kingdom is because it means that Jesus is king. He is in authority. The government is not king. Money and technology are not king. Our friends and our fame and fame are not king. I am not king. In Pilate's world, Pilate is in charge, even if he's not the emperor. But Pilate is closed to the greater eternal truth. God reminds us at the end of our second reading, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. If we are sensible, we will want to be children of Jesus' kingdom. It takes some faith to say, Jesus is Lord. It takes even more faith to say, Jesus is my Lord. May God give you the grace to perceive a little more clearly the glory of Jesus' kingdom so that you can proclaim with conviction and joy, Jesus is my Lord. His kingdom defines my life.